With us in the studio today to discuss these issues is Nicholas Segura, founder and president of 385 Talent Agency. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now tell us about 385 Talent Agency. What do you do there?
Well, 385 Agency is a multicultural marketing and talent firm. What we do is we exclusively represent ethnic talent for print, broadcast, and voiceover. We also have a production side where we help clients develop ad campaigns, whether it's television, radio, print, that reaches out to that multicultural audience. What we do is we utilize our talent for our campaigns, and our campaigns support our talent.
So is this a hodgepodge of marketing, communications, PR, and advertising that you do for your clients, sort of a hybrid?
In a sense, it is. You know, it's a very small firm. And the thing that I believe that, you know, that we practice is just, you know, when you have a client and they have a creative need, you've got to look at all of your potential media outlets, whether it's social, web, radio, print, guerrilla marketing tactics. And you just can't be like a copywriter. You've got to be able to try to be creative on a variety of different levels.
What is multicultural marketing?
Well, multicultural marketing is really focused on helping a brand or a company reach a larger and broader diverse audience. I would say that most marketing advertising dollars are focused on a general market, and that's everybody. But multicultural marketing is where we focus our attention, our copywriting efforts, our photography, our scripting, our talent that's included to be more accepted or more easily digestible by a multicultural market, whether it's an African-American market, Hispanic market, or even just a combination of the both of those.
Is it as subtle as putting like maybe red, black, and green packaging on a potato chip variety pack aimed at the African-American market or something like of that nature?
It can be very subtle, but it can be very direct as well. There are such a variety of different ways and clients and tactics of using that. We really look at each particular client and say, okay, here's the product that you have. Here's how we believe that it would be best integrated into a communications campaign that could be accepted and considered culturally relevant by that target audience.
A lot of it is about understanding your market and understanding your target audience. Now, some of the target audiences are pegged by demographers. Can you explain for a minute the difference between, say, the Latino market, the Chicano market, and the Hispanic market? I know coming up in New York and L.A., where there's lots of different iterations and variations of people throughout the Spanish-speaking diaspora, is that you wouldn't refer to a Puerto Rican or Dominican as a Chicano, and you wouldn't necessarily refer to, you know, a Mexican as Latino. Like sometimes they're taking offense to that, but they are a large percentage of this market that we talked about. Tell me how multicultural marketing is changing to address those specific cultural norms and issues.
That's a good question. You know, the Latino market in the United States is the largest minority group in the United States. They're also the very fastest growing group in the United States as well, having become the largest minority group back in 2004. So when you consider the Latino market, for example, you have to consider where your media is going to be placed. To just consider them, even though Mexican-Americans or Mexicans make up 70% of the Hispanic market, there are pockets of, like, for example, down in Miami where there's a large Cuban population, New York where there's a large Puerto Rican population, of course, California where it's predominantly Mexican. So when you consider if you're going to be targeting that market, you may actually be able to write a script that's a little bit more focused on utilizing the language and the slang of that particular ethnic group to target that script better for them.
And this is the fastest growing segment of the population, yet that segment is particularly still underserved.
Exactly. You know, that's one of the big white elephants in the room when it comes to marketing and advertising, is that the Hispanic market, while being the largest market in the United States or the largest minority in the United States, it is still highly under-communicated to. And that's one of the things that, you know, I found as a business person a niche in an area that I felt like I could support and help in terms of the creative effort. Because when it comes to advertising agencies, they're not terribly diverse. It's not a terribly diverse industry. And so there needs to be someone within that industry, whether it's locally or nationally or just, you know, to offer that insight to help clients or agencies produce that creative work.
What would you say to someone with only a cursory understanding of this market who might say, well, you know, there's Telemundo and Univision, and those are two of the largest networks, and of course there are Spanish language magazines and Latino and Hispanic and Chicano focused magazines, yet the mainstream media is still finding it hard to find out how they make their purchasing decisions. Mm-hmm. Is that sort of the gist?
Well, you know, I kind of, when I explain it to clients, I tell them a story like this. On Sundays, there are Americans who watch NASCAR, and there's Americans who watch National Geographic or Nova. And based on your product, we really need to consider which audience we want to go after. Just like in the Hispanic market, there are Spanish-dominant individuals, new arrivals. There are those that are recently immigrated and have become more integrated into the community. And then, of course, there's English-dominant, American-born Hispanics who don't even speak Spanish. And based on your product, how do we want to reach out to that audience, and which one of those audiences are going to best be interested in purchasing your product?
And that's the trick, though. They may be highly sensitive to the type of advertising that's being targeted at them.
I think so.
That's a challenge.
I think so. You know, I mean, certainly even English-speaking Hispanics still look at Hispanic marketing and advertising. And oftentimes when they don't see Spanish advertising, they're like, you know, why aren't you reaching out? Because even just the language or the translation shows that it's important to that brand to reach the larger Hispanic community.
Speaking of that, there's a Toyota ad where a father and a son are in a Toyota, and it's aimed at the Latino, Spanish-speaking, Hispanic market. Tell us about that. Set it up for us. We're going to play it.
Well, it's one of the ads that was played in the Super Bowl a few years ago. I don't know if it was last year or just a couple years ago, but it's where the son and the father are in the car, and they're speaking back and forth to one another about the car. However, there's a bilingual nature to the commercial in that there's some English and there's some Spanish. And it's Spanish that's basic enough that most people can understand the gist of what's going on.
Yeah, the father looks at the GPS and says, mira.
Mm-hmm. So, and with the actions as well that you get to see. So that kind of helps. But what it does is it communicates to both audiences, Hispanic that are Spanish dominant and English dominant, that the entire audience is important to the Hispanic community.
Papa, why do we have a hybrid?
For your future.
Why?
It's better for the air, and we spend less because it runs on gas and electrical power.
Mira, mira aquí.
It uses both.
Like you, with English and Spanish.
Sí.
And why did you learn English?
For your future.
Coming soon, the all-new 2007.
I have a couple of responses to this, and you know, these are definitely objective responses. Number one, the father and son don't look very Latino or Hispanic in the traditional sense that you would think. And the accent sounds a little thick and contrived, but that's just from my standpoint, having grown up with Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, Mexicans, you know, on baseball teams, in schools, you know. From what I saw.
When it comes to agencies and clients working on trying to reach the Hispanic market, oftentimes they fall into the role of trying to fit someone that looks Hispanic. But the thing that when I've done focus groups on Hispanic audiences and how to reach out to them, a lot of them will – or what's a constant feedback is that they need to diversify the look of the talent that's being used in that ad campaign. Because down in Latin America, there are blonde-haired, blue-eyed people.
Exactly.
African-American-looking exactly. People.
Now, what do you see when you watch this? What is your response both as a Latino person and Hispanic person and as someone who's in the ad business? What is your take on the authenticity of it?
Well, I think that they're trying to reach certainly as broad of an audience as possible, and certainly with it being a bilingual ad, a general-looking Hispanic father and son, I think it does a general job of reaching that as broad of an audience as possible. Being that it's being run on the Super Bowl, it's being seen by so many. So they're really having to consider that audience as really broad.
Do you know the backstory on it and how audiences responded to it?
I do not know, but I do know that it didn't turn heads. And that's actually one of the things that I've recommended to clients as well when they are considering developing ad campaigns is that, you know, if you were to put a Spanish television spot on an English television station, that is going to turn not only Latino heads, Spanish or English speaking, but even just the general market that what's going on? You have to do something that stands out from the norm. And so when it comes to that type of advertising, you have to do things differently.
One of the things I can think of is the telenovela spoof that Microsoft did for Bing, Bing Otra Vez. You know, that was pretty effective and pretty funny. But does creating an ad for an ethnic population risk excluding a non-ethnic audience? And the other side of that is, can it backfire by not being authentic enough?
You know, there is there's some studies done that show that when you do an ad campaign and you, for example, include an ethnic woman, it reaches the Caucasian audience, the African-American audience, the Hispanic audience, the multicultural audience. Whereas in when you run just an ad campaign that just holds Caucasian talent in there, then you're actually excluding the minority audiences. So you're really just getting one. So to me, the benefits of using multicultural talent in campaigns has a much more broad-reaching benefit of it.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR, streaming live on kcur.org. I'm Jabalani LaFall. Our guest is Nicholas Segura. He comes from the field of multicultural marketing and is the founder and president of 385 Agency. Tell us about 385 Agency and how it was born.
Well, 385 was started a few years, about 4 years ago, when I was asked to be a print ad model in a Keystone Beer print ad. They're doing the shooting here in Kansas City with the well-known photographer. But the casting director was having difficulty finding Hispanic males to be in this ad campaign.
Or what he thought to be authentic.
Well, they were really just looking for the look. The shoot was taking place out at a racetrack. And so a friend of a friend who said, you know, Nicholas, would you mind going in for the casting? And I've had some, you know, acting background. And so I went in just for the fun of it. And they hired me. So that I did about 2 hours worth of work there. And I took that money that I earned from that and I started the agency. The agency's idea was actually given to me by my father. My father worked at Hallmark Cards for about 15 years. And when he was there, he always said, you know, they have a really difficult time finding ethnic talent. And so he said, you know, Nicholas, when you grow up, you should start an ethnic talent agency. And it's always been in the back of my mind. And as I was doing work, I, you know, kept getting calls and calls for ethnic talent. And when that time finally came where they hired me, I thought, well, if they're going to hire me for ethnic talent, they're much more handsome and pretty people that I can find out there who we could find to utilize for this talent. I saw that there's a void in the market.
And 385, where does that come from?
Well, we actually named the agency after Che Guevara, the Latin revolutionary figure. 385 is C-H-E if you do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And that's where it came from.
That is pretty clever. What projects have you been involved with over the years, and where do you find your talent?
Well, one of the recent projects that we did was for an organization locally here in Kansas City, Rose Brooks. They needed some they wanted to reach out to the Hispanic market because they're a large audience of that organization. So they asked us to write and produce radio spots for that audience. That recently won an affiliate award just a few months ago. On top of that, recently we did some commercial spots for Your Telemerica, which were they wanted a Spanish spot as well as a minority spot for African-American and Hispanics. And so we had to write and script and produce each commercial. And what we do is we utilize our talent. And that's where I think where our agency is unique in that we have ethnic talent that agencies and producers, clients will call to utilize for their ad campaigns. But oftentimes, clients are wondering, what do we do with that talent? How do we write this script to make it more authentic, more culturally relevant? And so they hire us, the production side of the agency, to do that work for them.
We also have a short excerpt from a project that you worked on that you just mentioned earlier, the Yourtel ad. You want to set this up for radio listeners? What are we going to hear here?
Well, this is a television spot that we produced for Your Telemerica. They asked us to produce a multicultural English campaign. And so what we did was we produced a television spot that's in English, but we have African-American and Hispanics in the ad campaign. The spot starts off with one of our talent, Rosalind Ward, exclaiming that her telephone service had been cut off.
And there's some particular cultural references that we'll talk about after we listen to it. Let's take a listen.
Is your phone disconnected?
Oh, they did not cut my phone!
Paying too much for bundles?
So, someone who might not be aware of the colloquialism or had their phone cut off or been around somebody who had their phone cut off or their lights cut off or their water service cut off, that's a cultural signifier as an example, right?
I think so. You know,
Because you can't physically cut a phone line.
And what's funny is that in the shot, in the commercial shot, there's literally like a phone cord coming from the wall that's cut. And, you know, certainly phone
right.
companies can't do that,
do that.
But the power of that, along with the copy in the spot, really lends to it. I'm a very, very lucky individual in that as a child, I was raised in a Hispanic family. I grew up in an all-black neighborhood, and I went to an all-white Catholic grade school. And I've always been a really keen observer of behavior and language. And so now that as an adult being on the creative side, I'm able to really pull those experiences. And so that particular copy, they did not cut my phone. That had to be recorded about 10 times if I remember correctly, because not only is the copy so important, but the intonation and the way that's said as well will evoke a response of that's I've had that experience. I know that feeling. And so that's really important when it comes to doing multicultural marketing.
Yeah, you're definitely trying to foster that authenticity there
mm-hmm.
based on your own experience and frame of reference.
Exactly.
Now, is advertising that's directed at the African-American market or the Hispanic and Latino markets, is that effective in your opinion, or do marketers and the populace at large still have a lot to learn?
I would say that marketers have a great deal to learn. As minorities and being the facilitator of focus groups that talk about marketing and advertising, the biggest complaint that I believe that we hear is really just that clients do not know how to reach out to minority audiences. Take your Church's Chicken commercials where, if you don't mind me quoting a brand, but a Church's Chicken commercial where they're eating chicken in the club and they've got the beats going on. Who is eating chicken in a club? You know, a dance club. It's and just the whole the stereotypes that are really like utilized in a lot of those commercials. Even another commercial that I recall that really stood out to me was a car commercial where there's an African American group of people driving around in a new car, but the voiceover that does the voiceover for the entire spot just does not sound like or have any kind of African-American sound to it. Now, of course, you can say that are you being stereotypical in doing that? I wouldn't say it's being stereotypical, but it's really like if you're really trying to reach that audience and you're spending so much money on production, copywriting, media buys, you've got to be doing something that is authentic and really reaches the heart of that consumer to purchase that product.
And that brings up an interesting point. How do you draw the line between being stereotypical and drawing from authentic frame of reference as a copywriter or as someone over in a project management position of a marketing campaign? I don't know about churches, but I have actually seen a kiosk for chicken in a club in East St. Louis or some places up near St. Joe. They've served chicken, and maybe that was the frame of reference. So in that vein, how do you draw the line between being stereotypical and you know, having the authenticity, and how do you know?
I think, you know, that's a really good question because there are two different ways you could look at it. For example, there are commercials that are out there that kind of make fun of culture. For example, I think there are some Kahlua commercials right now that are way over the top Latino type storylines. Even the Bean commercial that you mentioned before about the telenovelas. So you have to be able to, if you're going to do something in a sense of humor, then you can kind of go further with the stereotype. But if you're going to be trying to reach a more serious topic matter, you in a sense you have to respect the particular audience that you're going after, and respecting that audience really takes taking the culture into consideration, what works and what doesn't, and that's where your multicultural creative team can really play a role. Because if you don't have a multicultural team, creative team working with you to develop that campaign, you can really like take some missteps there.
If you were to give a symposium, Nicholas, or a TED Talk, or had all of the major ad agencies in the country in one room, what would you tell them about multicultural marketing or what they're doing wrong or what they're doing right?
I would probably say that an investment in the multicultural community would help them to develop better multicultural campaigns. One of the big issues in communications field is the lack of minorities within the industry. And, you know, I was thinking about that before coming in and how with a 50% dropout rate of the Hispanic community, that's only 50% going into colleges. And then, of course, how many of them are being steered towards communications? So therefore, we've got a real problem in terms of finding those multicultural creative people to help and give insight into that market. And it's also, you know, one of the other things is that oftentimes that the weight of being creative is oftentimes put on one person. And one person cannot come up with the Hispanic marketing campaign. My team have a team of people that come from different Latin American countries, Americans, and we combine our ideas to create something that really is relevant and resonates.
It's important to have somebody who understands the difference between a taqueria and a pupuseria.
Exactly.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 KCUR and streaming live on kcur.org. Our guest is Nicholas Segura. He comes from the field of multicultural marketing and is the founder and president of the 385 Agency. Nick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.